Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 27th of July, recording at 8:04 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. That's a little earlier than usual, so nearly 55 minutes before the close of Wall Street. But there's plenty to talk about, and this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. But first, let's have a quick look at the week to date. It was a week of two different halves here. First 3 days, we had mostly stock markets easing, and they have roared back following Super Mario Draghi's comments yesterday about the euro will survive and they'll do whatever it takes, and that'll be enough, or words to that effect. I paraphrase, but I posted the quote yesterday. Now, so what we've seen is those rallies carry through today, and that's really quite interesting, and indeed they are strong. So we've had a downside failure and two upward dynamics here for a number of these European indices, and that includes today gains of nearly 4% for the Spanish IBEX, Italian market up nearly 3%, French CAC up 2.28%, the UK up nearly 1%, the European stocks index up 2.23%, so strong gains. Now here's a biggie, Brazil up over 5% as I speak. Wall Street also strong. We've got the S&P up 1.83%, that's 25 points. And we've got the NASDAQ up over 2%. Canada up 1.25%, Mexico up 1.4%. So this is powerful, powerful stuff here. And long-dated government bond prices, well, they've been in retreat for the last, well, depending on which one you look at, looking at bond prices, they have been retreating for the most part, they've been several days. We've seen some downward dynamics, including the U.S. Treasuries today, also the Australian bond futures today, JGBs not shown so much in the way of downward dynamics, but they've been coming down for several days in a row, and certainly those upward trends have lost upward momentum. Now, the U.S. dollar has also been weaker this week, but it has picked up against the yen. So the yen's gone from being the hardest currency up until I think yesterday, and now it's softened a bit. We've currently got the dollar at 78.56. The Aussie is definitely firm, up at 104.73. We've had some predictable short covering and predicted short covering in the euro. That's up now to, well, it's not up all that much today. It's at 123.20, and sterling up to 157.34. The Singapore dollar is a strong currency. The greenback continues to ease against the Singapore dollar, albeit within a range, and it's down to a lower side of the range. I may need to review that next week. I think I should. Now, precious metals. Well, it was talk about head fakes, down on Monday, steadier on Tuesday, and rallies subsequently. They've come off the highs here today, but still respectable action. Gold is up 7.5 at 1623 and change. Silver's up 20 at 2765. We've got platinum up 5 and a bit at 1411. So firm action overall. Most commodities are higher. WTI is at 90.16. I think Brent was at 103 and change. Not much that's down today. I think we've seen coffee down today. That's been retreating over the week. We've got natural gas down a little bit today, although that has been quite firm recently. We have, what else, what else? Sugar is down a little bit in here today. Industrial metals are firm, and they've been getting a rally certainly in the last couple of days or more. And the grain and grains and beans, well, my goodness, a lot of drama there. We've had some bearish signals up near historic highs for corn and soybeans, but they keep bouncing back and are firm in here today. Okay, so what's going on here in terms of the big picture? Well, all eyes remain focused on Europe, but the surprise, I think, has definitely been Mario Draghi's statement, because people were pretty well resigned to the fact that here we go again. It was going to be deja vu all over again. We were going to see that sort of ranging recovery for much of July and then start to weaken. You remember that's what happened last year, and then we had a financial crisis of sorts in August and September, resulting in the short, sharp bear market, as I described it at the time. Now, the last 2 days are a vigorous technical riposte to that hypothesis. We still have the rising lows, ranging rising lows. They're only rising gradually since that early June low. And at the time, you may recall, I described that early June low as that's really important. People were quite bearish, but once that low was in place, that was the important support level to watch. Well, most stock market indices are well above it. And in the West, we have these ranging with an upward bias patterns overall, which are tricky to work with because they show that the supply-demand balance is fairly evenly matched, but maybe 55-45 in favor of the bulls. And I'd mentioned that S&P, the last of its rising lows until this week, down at 13.25. Well, that still applies. We got down. We had a look at it early in the week and bounced. And now the S&P is at 13.85, almost 13.86. So it's broken above the other highs as of this moment that we had seen in July, although it's still below the year's highs. But nonetheless, it's firm action in here. Overall, so we need to see breaks in those rising lows. We don't need to see them, but it's a figure of speech. Those breaks in those rising lows would be required. That's the way to express it, to indicate that the gradual slight demand dominance was giving way to some more supply dominance. But we can forget about the big bear market threat while we're comfortably above the June lows. And that's the bottom line fact. Everything else is theory in terms of these forecasts. Now, people will say, well, come on, nothing's really been resolved in Europe. And that's an old refrain and a valid one. But it doesn't have to be resolved. What has to happen is, because everybody knows that's going to take a long time if it can be done, but what is required is more cooperation and firmer action on the part of the various bank bailout programs, ESM and all that have been put in place. and plus the ECB acting as lender of last resort. Well, those pieces are, they haven't quite fallen into place, but they're heading in that direction, and that's what markets are responding to here right now. They're also talking about further QE from the Fed. Well, in terms of the economic data, perhaps they could justify that. It's soft, but as I've mentioned throughout, the Fed would be loath to do that during an election year, and they'll hope to actually avoid that. But the markets are anticipating that. Certainly the Fed isn't going to tighten, so we still have this tailwind of favorable monetary policy against a background of rather scary economic contraction, and not least in China, where that index has been heading south, albeit just drifting, but it hit a new low for the last many months in here this week. It's actually below its 2011 lows, back near its small base back in 2008-2009. So that remains a serial underperformer in here, and that's the opposite of the ASEAN group, which remain serial outperformers. And then Wall Street is an outperformer, and I reviewed some of the others that showing the better overall gains. Now, what about these long-dated government bond prices? They have certainly been on a roll. The yields have moved down to record levels. Everybody's been marveling at all this. Usually, when you reach record levels, you're not far off some sort of turning point, and we may be looking at it. Certainly, I've described it today as a shot across the bows. Here, you can see how overextended those long-dated government bond prices are, and they have lost upward momentum for at least the short term and have seen some downward dynamics. So I would be careful there. And there's a little bit of hubris in the bond market among the bond bulls. That's understandable. We always get that. They've been a very successful minority. A lot of people have said this is crazy and have been predicting bonds were going to, this is all going to end in tears, and I've been part of that group as well. And the bond bulls have been right in the sense that they've had a momentum trend on their side. People who were long tech and telecoms and saying, duh, it's the new economy versus the old economy back in early 2000, they looked like geniuses as well for a while. Okay, so I'd be careful in those long-dated government bonds. We do like quality corporate bonds. We like the long-dated government bonds of countries that have respectable balance sheets, ditto corporations, mandatory that they have a respectable balance sheets. We still like high yield. If this rally gains further traction and isn't just a two-day wonder in stock markets, then we'll see some of those second line and mid-cap to small-cap shares start to improve, and also the miners, which is a pretty bombed-out sector. What about the precious metal action? It still looks like support building to me. We had a real test here late last week and on Monday, and the lows held, and the longer they hold, a point I've made before, the more ranging we get here in this as we move towards a more seasonably favorable period, and we're entering it in August and September. Historically, if we conform to that pattern. And that's certainly not guaranteed, but I give it the benefit of the doubt until we see, or unless we see otherwise, we're heading towards a more favorable period for precious metals. So I still think this looks like support building, but we won't have confirmation of that until we see clear short-term upward trends within these very broad ranges that have existed for, what, 9, 10, 11 months, depending on which ones were, which of the precious metals we're looking at. Industrial metals look oversold, but we aren't going to see, I think, a sustainable rally until we start getting some better economic data. Everybody's crossing their fingers and hoping that we're going to get that come the autumn. Maybe. My biggest concern remains, I'm uncertain, in other words, about that. My biggest concern, which I've aired on a number of occasions for months, is that these central banks are crisis-oriented, that they were waiting too long, China and India, not doing enough. I still feel that's the case. So we still have this soft economic data overall, but so much bad news has been discounted that stock markets are doing well. They're surprising people to the upside mainly, and that's because you don't buy the weak economy necessarily. And in some of these companies, not least the autonomies, are doing quite well in this environment. And it's been an exciting week. I look forward to next week, and I hope you do too. Meanwhile, I'm going to go watch the London Olympics opening ceremony. And on that note, have a fabulous weekend. All the best.